What's so great about? What's so great about? Who? What's so great about? What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that's brave enough to really dig in and ask what's so great about a particular topic. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, and you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. Oh, better get close to the mic. very well, and you?
Yeah, we did already.
Great.
Yeah. Listen, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have love to give?
Yes. I don't get the
it's
reference.
From the movie. I should have asked you, do you respect the cock?
Oh, well, now you just... Yes, very much.
Andy, we have a guest with us this week.
Yes, we do.
Our guest is an actor, a sketch comedian, an award-winning playwright, and all-around funny person. It's Hannah Mamelis.
Hi.
Welcome.
You're very welcome,
Thanks
Hannah.
Much. Thanks, guys.
Well, normally, before we get into the movie in general, we're talking about PTA's masterpiece? Question mark? For you guys, Magnolia.
Is this seen as like his the one?
This is his, for better or worse, I guess his magnum opus. You would say he put everything in.
Don't care for that term, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's 29 when he made it. It's all in here.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is.
Actually, makes me sick.
Yeah. I've wasted my life.
No, I'm gonna flip the table.
Before we get into the movie, we normally go around the table and see, you know, what have we been up to. Did you just have a good weekend?
Yeah. No, I got nothing.
You got nothing this week. Hannah, how was your weekend?
I have to pick up the slack
here. Yeah, you have to. I'm just going to sit back and let you talk to me.
I'm going to be shit. I was sick. I've been sick for the... Yeah, I'm just at the other side of an illness. I was in my bed, bedridden with an illness, like a little consumption waif.
Now, what would you watch when you're
Oh, what did I watch? I did, because like that is one of the best things about being sick, right? Is that if you're not too sick, you know when you're too sick sometimes,
then
and you're like,
enjoy
get it away. that is the best thing about being sick, when you can actually just like enjoy the old watching. What did I watch? I watched another 3-hour movie. Called I know, I'm just a glutton for punishment.
You too. Yeah.
It's called Betty Blue. Have you heard of it?
I haven't.
No.
You haven't heard of it. He's been out moving. Brilliant.
What's it about?
It's a French movie from the 80s.
Some of that.
Bit of the old French, you know.
We've got a new movie book in town.
Did you watch it on Mubi, by any chance?
I did watch it on Mubi.
Yeah, right. Now we're talking.
I love Mubi. I love it. Yeah. Yes, it... I remember it... It have been knocking around... It went through a big, I think, phase with... I know my mom had the soundtrack. I think people had the soundtrack and they loved it. And I remember it knocking around my house, seeing that soundtrack. And then I remember people talking about it. It's like really sexy. It's a really sexy French movie. But also it's quite sad. But there's loads of sex in it. There's so much riding.
That name again. There's so many though. Which one specifically?
Betty Blue. It literally Good opens with a scene of the two of them shagging. It's about a couple.
Okay.
And man, you see this lad's shaft from most of the movie. Oh, like it's dicks out.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's dicks out for Christmas.
Okay. There's not enough.
We should be talking about this. There's not enough of like dick, for lack of a better word, in mainstream cinema.
Like, and really, like, not just because I don't know, wanted to see dick, but you
it's
know.
It's offensive to women.
It is. It is. More representation, you know what I mean? I want men to be objectified and I want to see their dicks in movies.
Enough was enough. Those guys.
Yeah.
Apart from the dick, what did you think of the movie?
It's good. It's kind of chronicling this relationship between these two, and she's a bit mad. There's a bit kind of manic pixie dream girl vibes, but not actually, because she's actually mental. And it's she kind of deteriorates kind of throughout it, and he's trying to hold them together. And it's very funny, actually. And it feels... And
it's in French, obviously?
It's in French, yeah. It feels super contemporary, actually, which I didn't really expect it to be.
I love that. Like, I seen... What was it... that movie.
Here we go.
Derailed.
Automatically.
No, what was the thing with Vertigo?
Oh yeah.
I only seen it for the first time last year, and I was like, this looks like it was made 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't, I would expect in my cynical nature for movies to be like, from that era, to be quite slow by today's standards, but it was zipped along.
But like, zappy.
That movie, like, it's regarded as one of the best of all time. Is like, Sight and Sound, it's like normally top there. But like, wow. I don't think it's like, I'm surprised you think it's that zippy, to be honest.
Yeah,
just by your standards, like, you thought like Boogie Nights last week was like, geez, it was dragging on. Like a film that for a 2:39 it zips.
Yeah, does it?
Yeah.
Well, either way.
Yeah. I feel like you've already gone down this rabbit hole.
That was last week.
Because we've covered Heart Eight and Boogie Nights.
Right. So you're going chronologically. Spicy.
So we have I don't know, was it nine?
Only nine.
Yeah. I thought Heart Eight was shy.
Right.
And I thought Boogie Nights was good.
Bit more your jam.
Yeah, I expected to like it more though.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a bit more bombastic.
And that is like the easiest one to get into. Like,
is there Hanging Shaft in Boogie Nights?
Right at the very end. This is the genius of the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Every time they talk about his cock or whatever, no, you don't see it, and they're all like, "Oh my god."
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the last right, frame of the movie is the prosthetic.
Mm. I just don't.
And then you get Jeff Lynne.
I just think that was unnecessary. I was saying to Terry last week, it seemed like the most 1997 ending to a movie, where it's like, what do we do? It's like, let's get his dick out. And then end.
Bye-bye.
You know, roll credits.
I'm not going over this
bit
with
of
you
the
again.
Old shock factor. Yeah. Like,
I feel like 1997 might be the greatest year.
Well, funny you say that, 99, which is the year this was made, is widely regarded as the best year. Like, they've written a book on it. Yeah.
What came out in 99?
Fight Club, this...
Being John Malkovich.
Yeah, Matrix. Mm. There is... What else is there? There's a bunch.
Do you think that's because... I was thinking that when I was watching the Magnolia, where I was like, is there a touch of the... about to turn into the next century about it? Where
it's
they're
like
all getting their weird shit
out. Like Austin this, Powers. For him, seems like it's almost... I mean, I have the notes on it, but like... I watched it, there's a documentary about the making a documentary about this, and like he seems like he's on cocaine like quite a bit.
Sure.
And then
which
like,
he probably was.
Yeah, like the first scene he's talking about in the documentary, he's talking about how like, you know, oh, I was terrified and all this, but it's constant like hand movements across the nose or
right.
Like and like
he's razzed as fuck.
Yeah, and he's speaking very quickly and like he's with Fiona Apple at the time.
Go on, PTA.
There's a story of like him and Tarantino in a room with Fiona Apple, and she's like, I felt like I was going to blow my head off. The two of them on coke, talking about movies.
Jesus, yeah.
And she's just like sitting there. It's like, nobody wants that.
Tarantino probably trying to get her feet out. The classic.
Yeah.
Go on, get your feet out. Get your feet out for the lads.
Well, look, I mean,
it's pretty good, Tarantino.
Yeah, thanks.
Speaking of impressions.
I really want to get into this.
All right. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, great.
Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a line to you from an opera. I want you to give me that line back in the language in which the opera was originally written. And for a bonus 250, you can sing it.
I'm Stanley Spector.
There is the story of a boy genius.
Willa Cather, Thomas Kidd, Jean-Baptiste Paul Moliere.
And the game show host.
I'm Jimmy Gator. Live from Burbank, California. First question for 25. This French playwright and actor joined the Béjart troupe of actors.
And the ex-boy genius.
I'm Chris Kidd-Donny Smith.
I used to be smart, now I'm just stupid.
There is the story of the dying man.
I'm Earl Partridge.
I have a son, you know.
You do?
Find him.
I'm Frank T.J. Mackey.
His lost son.
What did he say? Because I am not going to take care of him. What does he want?
And the dying man's wife.
I'm Linda Partridge.
I took care of him through this, Alan. What now then?
Me and him. Do you understand? There's no one else. No one else!
The caretaker.
Hello! I'm Phil Parma. See, this is the scene of the movie where you help me out.
And there is the story of a mother.
I'm Rose Gator.
You come home soon after the show. I love you.
Love you too.
And the daughter.
I'm Claudia Wilson Gator.
Now that I've met you, would you object to never seeing me again?
And the police officer in love.
I'm Officer Jim Curring.
My life is very stressful, and I'd hope to have a relationship that is very calm and undemanding and loving. So if you are this person, a message at box number 82.
And this will all make sense in the end.
I know life is getting shorter. I can't bring myself to set the scene.
So, Hannah, we had this thing we do every week. It's called BOF, which is Box Office and Fun Facts.
Okay.
So, we give the guest first go most times because really... Actually, sorry, no, we flipped that because Andy should be going first.
Great.
Because it gives, it gives you the option
oh,
of
the special
doing
boy
the
here, birthday boy.
No, unless you want to go first.
No, no, you said it now.
basically, so, you can say plus one if you want to say, oh, whatever Andy's guess is.
It'll make more sense after. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So... I'm guessing how much
what's the budget?
Was
what's the budget, Andy?
And I'll start cast. What was Boogie Nights?
I don't have it with me.
What, 15?
20, 15, yeah, it was actually.
I'm going to say this has big wigs in it. 19 million.
Okay. Hannah?
I'm going to go for 18.
Well, you're just giving it to him. 37 million.
Oh, Jesus.
His most expensive movie ever.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Box office opening weekend, Andy.
Oh, you got the opening.
I have the opening weekend.
You got the opening weekend.
Well, I got the opening wide release weekend.
So that's what, worldwide?
No, like the opening, it opened over 1,000 screens. I think the first weekend it opened to like 20 screens.
I can't.
So I'm just...
100,000? I don't know.
No, I'm saying 1,000 screens is a lot.
Okay.
Compared to the last few.
Opening weekend, 4 million.
Okay. Anna, what do you reckon?
3?
36? No. I would say 2.5.
6.6. Oh, the rule is, if you're within 5, you just both get it. Yeah.
So you both get it?
Yeah. Yeah. Domestic, Andy?
Domestic total?
Yeah.
20 million.
Okay.
means I'm way off.
I would say 40.
22 million.
Oh. I'm terrible at this game. I'm really bad.
You know, we always subject guests to this, and it's like because we do it every week, we have a rough idea of
where.
Yeah,
I don't have a fucking clue what's going on.
It's so wide open.
It's my fucked up head. I'm like, surely everybody knows this stuff. Like,
I mean, you don't know the domestic box office.
You don't know the flash.
I have a baby
55.
Brain for numbers.
Yeah. Right,
worldwide.
What was the... Okay.
22, domestic, worldwide.
35.
Okay.
I'm gonna stick with my 40.
48.5. So you're closer.
Okay.
And then Rotten Tomatoes. It's fresh.
I don't like that this is a thing. But
certified 90, fresh.
91%. Okay. They'd love it.
I'm going to say 97.
83% fresh. Yes. Yeah. Audience score...
83 as well.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say, 97.
89%.
Oh, Jesus. Come on.
So unsatisfied. I'm so
There was one we did where Andy was asking me the box office and I was off by like $1 or something. It was, it was ridiculous.
It to you.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable hot streak.
It was nominated for 3 Academy Awards.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Best original screenplay.
Bing.
Best director. Best supporting actor.
Yeah. Who?
Philip Seymour.
Nope.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Did he win it?
No. No, we'll talk about it. No. We're going to talk about it.
All right.
And no idea what the last one is.
Score.
No.
I got nothing.
Anna.
Score what?
No. It's like, what was the third Oscar nom? And it wasn't score or director.
Best picture.
No.
Oh.
Tough year. Very tough year.
Yeah. What was it?
Best original song.
Oh, yeah, okay. Was it Save Me?
It was Save Me, yeah. Because they couldn't use...
It's a banger.
Yeah, it is. It's the whole soundtrack. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But they couldn't use Wise Up because...
they all sing it.
Because Amy Mann had actually written it for Jerry Maguire. And it's not an original song, even though they didn't use it in Jerry Maguire. So it's kind of...
There you go now.
How about that?
Jesus.
Yeah, you learn, huh? After the critical and commercial success of Boogie Nights, New Line Cinema told PTA that they would bankroll whatever he wanted to make next and give him final cut, which
is... So he basically got carte blanche.
Really, like, it's very unheard of. And he talks about it in the documentary where he's like, they're going to ask me to make changes, but I'm not going to do them because, you know, final cut is a very dangerous thing to give somebody like me.
Right. Yeah, this is when his ego kind of started to explode a little bit, right?
Like he always seemed to have it. He always seemed to have the big ego, but like now it's like, because like the first movie, Hard Eight, they tried to like, they took it away from him essentially and like made him rename it and stuff like that. And then Boogie Nights, he was kind of like had his back up And they liked it so much that he didn't have to make lots of changes. And then this one, he didn't have to make any changes. And like, he's kind of talked about how, like, man, if I go back, like, I tell myself to fucking chill out and, like, maybe cut 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
maybe 60. Call me crazy.
Did you hear? I saw an interview with him because it was his birthday.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, did not know that.
And there was like clips all over Twitter and stuff. And
why people were posting the like top thing. Yeah, PTA. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And there was a clip of him talking about Tom Cruise coming to him after seeing Boogie Nights and was like, "I want to work with you."
No way.
And he was like, because I think he calls him in the clip, he's like, he calls him the president of cinema or something.
He still is.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Yeah.
And that he went to go see him on set when they were filming Eyes Wide Shut.
You're stepping all over my notes.
Oh,
no. Keep going.
Sorry.
Brilliant. He's been totally out movie here. I'm loving it.
Yeah, he went to go see him on set and he was like, yeah, you know, and I think he had like a, you know, vague idea. Or he barely knew what he wanted to do at the time.
He basically said he'd written this kind of character.
Mm.
And then when Tom Cruise came on board, he was like, right,
yeah,
fleshed out.
Here we fucking go.
But also he was able to go to the studio and say, I've got Tom Cruise.
Mm.
Yeah.
Give me more money. Like, right. So it's like, this is why it's his most... It
this
basically
like
said
peak Tom Cruise.
Really it really is. He had five or six...
so good.
Yeah.
Can we...
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like, agree on that.
Yeah. It's a travesty. He didn't win the Oscar. He lost to...
Who?
Michael Caine. That's bad.
Michael
Caine is the easiest impression.
It really is.
Thank you. So he lost to Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
She was only 16 years old.
Blow the I'm bloody worse.
This hurt. Yeah. All right, sorry.
Thank you. Lost to him for the Cider House Rules and like... in no...
What
like,
a load of horse shit.
Everybody remembers that performance, right? You know? Fucking joke. Like, stupid Academy.
Old geezer.
He said, oh, he was writing the film for about 8 months, but really was getting nowhere with it. And Bill Macy, I know he'll love when I call him that.
William H.
Yeah, he suggested he go to his cabin in Vermont to try and get away from it. And basically, when he got there, he realized there was a snake outside his door. Right. So he didn't leave the cabin for a week. He was that afraid. And he basically said
he got loads of writing done.
Yeah, he got all the writing done.
I think he's odd.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about him, but you're telling me all this stuff. He went to Boogie Nights. He made Boogie Nights because of his obsession with porn. He said it himself.
Yeah.
Brought the whole crew onto a porno set. Unnecessary. And, you know, he's doing coke. He's got questionable things happening in his movie. I think something's going to come out about him in 5 years.
Do you think he imagined that snake outside? Do you think the snake
think
was
so.
Real?
Yeah,
it was a snake of mind. It was a mind snake, if you will.
I got a goddamn mind snake outside my door.
Macy, what the fuck, man?
Do you play that snake here, Macy?
Get Riley, come on. We're getting there.
The snake is William H. Macy.
He was also listening to the music of Amy Mann while he was writing it. It says it's a huge influence on the film. Mm. Her songs are littered throughout it, and some of the lyrics even make it into the script.
Okay. Yeah.
So did he ask her to do the kind of score after that?
So John Bryan did the score, but it was like, yeah. So like this, the kind of ominous score you hear throughout the movie is John Bryan, but he kind of was in contact with her and was saying, I'm going to shape this movie with your
right,
songs or whatever. So like, I think like 6 or 7 songs in the soundtrack are hers.
Yeah, and they're pivotal in it as well. I was wondering, the John Bryan, because it does, it feels a bit Kaufman-esque moments where it's like,
I love the score. But like it's, in my notes, I'm like, it's just so ominous that like clarinet or whatever, like.
I felt like when I was watching the whole thing all the way through that I'm like, it's like only about an hour in, because I don't pick up on these things till much later, but I'm like, why do I feel such tension?
That's the magic of movies.
Oh, this thing has just been going.
It's making me feel like this.
He actually, you know what he said? He referred to, or one of the references was A Day in the Life by the Beatles, how it's like this big build up and then crescendo and then down and build up
again. Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Like, that's a lot of how it goes in the movie.
Can I give you my thoughts on it?
Hold on. I still got some notes.
Oh, okay.
You went out. So there's my Tom Cruise note. Gone completely.
Sorry.
On to the next one. The numbers 8 and 2 appear throughout the film frequently.
Why?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. It relates to Exodus 8:2, which is frogs. Mm. You know, the plague of
the
frogs.
Book of shit.
Yeah. Some of the times you see it are the first time you see the weather forecast is 82% chance of rain. When the blackjack game with Patton Oswalt, the guy wants a 2, he gets an 8. Mm-hmm. The kids are only 2 days away from being the champions for an 8-week streak. And in the bar, there is a scoreboard for two teams, the Frogs versus the Clouds, 8 and 2 is the score.
Okay, well. Yeah,
so,
bit much. Huh?
Do you reckon?
Well,
I think that's fun.
Yeah, me too. Like,
yeah.
Your buddy Burt Reynolds was offered the role,
but after Boogie Nights, he said, "This fucking punk kid,
yeah,
no chance."
And Luis Guzman is credited as himself in the film.
No way.
That's so,
like,
funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like,
just on a quiz show against kids.
Hey little boy. Hey little boy. Yeah. And what was Burt Reynolds' character going to be?
I don't know if it was going to be the Jimmy Gator character or the Earl Partridge character. Mm. So,
oh, wow.
Like,
that would have been great.
Which one would you rather be?
Neither, to be honest. Yeah, I don't think you can swap. Like, I think,
yeah,
Philip Baker Hall in this is unreal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's three. I mean, it's closer to Sydney in Hard Eight than it is Floyd Gondoli in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
But
how do you remember these
names?
But it's also like completely. Like, he's so different to Sydney.
Yeah.
Know? Like, he's this guy's a piece of shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, and Sydney is kind of a bit of a piece of shit, but nice, he had a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Like. And the word fuck is used 190 times.
Wow.
It's my kind of movie.
So, what's that? Once every, almost once a minute. Or more than once a minute. 180
yes,
minutes?
Yeah.
180 minutes.
181 on my count.
I mean, you'll admit yourself that's too long.
I mean, I see where he's coming from, where he says he could cut 20 minutes, but then I'm like, I don't want him to cut anything.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm like,
yeah, I don't know. Of many 3-hour movies that I've watched, particularly recently, I would be hard to find a place where I'd go cut that.
Yeah.
I think.
Like, he did cut stuff out of the movie as well. Like, the whole thing with the rapping kid.
Yeah.
And, like, his dad is the worm.
Mm.
He's the guy who, like, John C. Reilly is chasing. There's a whole bigger
story there.
Yeah, like it showed how he was responsible for the death in the, like, the
cupboard.
The cupboard, yeah.
Right.
In Marcy's.
Because the kid's like, I told you everything you need to know, yeah.
I can watch this film 100 times and I can never make out.
I don't know what that kid's
he's trying
saying.
To tell.
I don't know what
that kid
is saying.
What are you trying to tell
saying?
Me? Like,
yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
I told you.
Shut
you
up.
Yeah, it's like, you
say
didn't
it
tell
proper. Or shut up.
Right, Andy, hit us with your thoughts.
Thoughts? I thought it was the best one so far.
Ah, nice.
I thought it was
fucking yes.
well, hold on. pros and cons, right? Of course. I thought it was the best one so far. My favorite thing about it was, like, the performances in it. That, like,
not a bad one.
I think this is Tom Cruise. I think it's my favorite Tom Cruise performance of all time.
Best performance he's
ever
done.
I think it may be my favorite character in a movie performance of all time.
So
I was blown away. Here's a little secret, because I only started watching it at like 10 o'clock last night. So after multiple stoppages on my stream, I said, fuck it, I'll just get a torrent and I'll just watch it, right? And you know what the torrent's got?
Subtitles.
Speed control.
Oh, did he do a little fast forward?
No, Andy, tell you
that is disgraceful behavior.
Well, you give it to our friend Andy Ryan for listening to podcasts on like 1.52.
It's too long. They're all too long.
You told me you were starting this last Thursday night.
I know. And I didn't. That's just it. I just didn't. But whenever, here's a testament to it though, whenever it would get to the Tom, I ended up stopping it.
This is disgraceful. I'm boiling.
So in every other bit except the Tom Cruise thing,
it's
did you have
Mickey
a little
Mouse.
Sped up?
I started doing that. A lot of the William H. Macy stuff was sped up.
Oh my god, Andy! I don't understand if you said maybe the John C. Reilly stuff, which I still love.
Yeah, do you hate the gays? Is that why you did that?
It was just purely, I was just... I have a big issue with the length of movies. I mean,
you're a disgrace. You're a fucking disgrace.
It's testament to the movie that I stopped because I kept having to stop, like, oh, what was that? And I go back.
That's what you watched the movie for.
Yeah, but a lot of it was
a little bit like
I thought, I mean, like, it probably makes sense that I thought the William H. Macy stuff was the least captivating stuff of the movie. Again, I thought, like, Boogie Nights, if he wasn't in it, you wouldn't miss a huge amount.
This is way...
There's your half hour chop right there.
No, that's this is a way bigger part than in Boogie Nights, and it's heartbreaking, like...
Yeah, that's okay. Another thing. That's another thing, right? Now, it was a great movie, but it was essentially a three-hour...
drama.
Examination of pain and suffering
yeah.
from multiple characters.
And maybe by that's the good stuff! Yeah. That's the good stuff!
By hour two, I was just kind of like... It seemed like it was all wrapping up at around 2 hours. I'm like, whoa!
What point did you think it was wrapping up at?
I thought it was like... You know, the kid's pissing his pants. He's like, get your hands off me. Tom Cruise in the interview, like, staring at her and all this. And it's all building up, like, grand. There must be, like, 10 minutes left. Here's the crescendo. And it's like, the crescendo just kept going.
Yeah, but aren't you glad that you got that other bit to Cruise's performance?
I mean...
All improv, by the way.
What was?
The Cruise performance with Jason Robards. Where he's like crying, the dad, okay. Where he's crying and he's like, "Don't fucking go."
That was all improv.
That was all improv. Apparently, the script wasn't working, and he just said, "Okay," because Cruz's dad had died in very similar.
Oh no!
Like he hadn't seen his dad what? When they got divorced at 12. Apparently, he was quite open about talking to this when he was younger in the '80s. He saw his dad once when he was 15, and then on his deathbed,
he saw it.
And Paul Thomas Anderson's dad had just passed away. Like a year before, like it's kind of why he started writing the movie.
It's pretty raw for both of them. Right? And that was kind of,
but he said, just go. And then you see like Philip Seymour Hoffman in the background crying.
Yeah. That's him actually crying.
Yeah,
it feels really, really immediate. Yeah.
That was my favorite performance of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's beautiful in that movie. Yeah.
Like that scene where he's on the phone and he's like, and this is the scene in the movie. Where you know this is that scene or whatever. Like every time I watch it, I'm like, I'm gonna start bawling. You know, like even when the first word he said in this movie, I'm like, oh god. Like he's like, how's today? And I'm like,
yes. He's just such a lovely man.
I know.
Yeah, and when and also Julianne Moore, I thought was amazing in it as well. But when she's apologizing to him, and it's just like, I don't know how they do it, but like, you know, like the camera goes to him and like. He's looking at her for a sec, and then you just see in like a 2 seconds, like his eyes just go like welling up, just like you can see it just happen on screen of just like nothing, and then and it was like, holy shit, like that's good acting.
The Julianne Moore stuff, I go back and forth with because I'm like, people talk about like her being
too much
acting,
yeah. In this, like,
I think she's supposed to be this big, like, you know, and like people talk about, like, oh, if you're gonna cut somebody, cut her. And I'm like,
never.
Well, like that, you'd be, you know, you'd miss that scene of, you know, fuck you, shut the fuck up, the pharmacy, and the lawyers.
I think
they're the two best.
It's like you say. I think there's an element of artifice to her character anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, she is pivoting between like she's kind of like half faking it, and she's kind of half. Feeling it. So like I think it does, but I was the same where I was like, oh, how do I feel, because I've watched it a couple of times.
What's your relationship actually with PTA? Like, what was your first PTA movie you watched?
So it might have been Magnolia, but not, I didn't watch it properly. So Magnolia was my ex's favorite movie. One of his favorite movies, and I think I wandered in when he was watching it at one point, and it was on a Tom Cruise bit, and it was
hooked.
Well, no, I wasn't.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was more. I wandered in. I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And Tom Cruise was just like, "Fuck the pussy, ticket." And I was like, "What is this bollocks?" Like, not knowing any context for what was going on. And I was like, "Oh, this is your favorite movie, is it?"
Yeah.
And and so I'm out of here.
Can't believe you guys didn't make it.
Well, it's funny. I have a theory about there are three movies that I think men really love.
Ooh.
And there's like a Venn diagram of like how they cross over.
I bet they're gonna be my three.
Magnolia, Heat. And Shawshank Redemption.
You know what? You lost me with the last one.
You won me back with the last one, actually.
You see, I think there's like, if you put Magnolia on this side, right? And then the Heat is in the middle between, it's the bridge between Shawshank and Magnolia. And I think...
Why is that? Why do you think that's the bridge?
I think Magnolia, if you're going to one end, this is going to be really reductive of what I think of men.
Please.
Soft little artsy boys.
Okay, yeah. In Magnolia.
Yeah, on the Magnolia end of the...
How dare you.
Yeah, and on the other end, boys who love sport. For Shawshank. And then Heat's kind of in the middle.
Interesting.
That's...
Now see, I haven't seen Heat, so...
Okay, well...
I really want to, but you're telling me not to, because we're going to do
we're going to do it on the pod when we do our heist mini-series. Movies about heists.
That's interesting, though. Yeah. Now I really want to see it. Yeah. And I do love both of the two that I've seen. I do love two of them.
Yeah.
Is Shawshank scene is like a bit of a...
It's number one movie on IMDb, you know.
What's your problem with it?
It's fine. It's cool. It's great, but like it wouldn't be like top. You asked me like was Boogie Nights in my top 20. I'd have Boogie Nights ahead of Shawshank Redemption. It's a good. It's a great movie. Like, but it's
would be in your top 50 movies of all time.
Yeah, probably. It would squeeze in at number 47.
Like. What I find really I think Shawshank's a good movie. What I find really funny in it is, and I know loads of guys who's like, it's my favorite movie of all time. And I'm like, you realize that there's only one woman speaks in that movie.
We went to see you guys do this actually in the comedy
one woman
festival.
Speaks, yeah. And she's a nag who's like, can you bag my vegetables properly? And that's it. That's the representation for women in that movie. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, okay, cool.
There's a reason why it's number one,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's the reason why all the boys love it. I don't have to listen to those stupid girls. This is my first PTA. And I remember watching it when I was like 16, rented it from the video shop. But I was watching it with a friend and I had to go home before we could watch the end of it. So literally the bit where he lost the gun just after that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I have to go home. And I was asking my friends, like, what happened to the end of the movie? He's like, oh man, it got so
much.
Weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, frogs started coming from the sky. And I was like, huh?
Yeah, what's that all about?
Basically,
does that explain? Are we supposed to just...
My reading of it is the whole thing at the start where it's, you know... Greenberry Hill, and you know that Patton Oswalt is a scuba diver, and the son who gets charged as an accessory to his own murder. All these happenstance.
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing is life is weird. This frog thing is not much more weirder than anything else that could happen to you.
Right.
Like, and it has happened in the past. Like a tornado has picked up a load of frogs from the water and like dropped them on towns and stuff like
that. Is that because I've heard that before, where it's like, oh, it was raining frogs and there was some explanation for it. And I was like, is that one of those things where there's actually like an explanation?
There is an explanation.
Yeah, there has to be, wasn't there?
So I was thinking, like,
what's the alternative? Just magic?
What I was wondering.
Sky
I was like,
magic?
I'm watching, I'm like, am I supposed to just go along with like, okay? Like,
but Andy, you're supposed to just go along with them breaking into song. Yeah, you are. Like,
they
you
break
know?
Into song?
What are you talking about?
He was watching that fucking fast forward. Are you joking?
They're singing along.
Yeah,
they're breaking the song.
No, but that's that music is not happening in the movie.
Yeah.
That's a non-diegetic sound.
I figured they were all listening to the same radio station.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
My thoughts about the frog thing is that like it's such a biblical moment, right? And it feels like the characters up until that point... everything has gone so to shit that it takes something so biblical for it to like change the narrative and to like make it come right. You know what I mean? So it's like the kind of, you know, it rains for so much of it, that idea of like rain or whatever, just washing stuff away and starting afresh.
Right.
That was my kind of interpretation.
Yeah, I think that's right. And
yeah, no, I think that makes sense. I think this is, like, generally I don't
how fucking good do the frogs look,
they look
when
great.
They're hitting the
little slimy bloody
like John C. Reilly, like and then like when you see it, like Philip Seymour Hoffman is like, why are the frogs falling from the sky, and you just see the fucking real plastic shit being not like there are some CGI
but
like it's fucking visceral filmmaking. It's like, we're just gonna fucking get,
yeah.
I think it was like almost 5,000.
Yeah, like it feels violent.
It's like heavy.
Yeah,
like,
Well, it's corpses. Like they're bloody little corpses. Yeah. Just
Bill Macy gets like right in the head.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be terrified. I'd be fucking like.
Be shitting yourself.
Yeah.
Come on.
No. That, like I'm just trying to consult some of my notes here.
I have.
But I don't have. They're not. They're just quotes from the movie.
Okay, are we all going to look at notes? Yeah, yeah. I'll look at the notes.
I have like 4 pages of notes, and I realized halfway through, I was like, every other line is like incredible, amazing.
Sure, yeah. Like,
every, pretty much, I mean, I was absolutely captivated by Tom Cruise.
Mm. I mean, and what, like, an entrance.
He's playing Tom Cruise.
That's the thing. It feels like, was made for him a little bit. Like, the way PTA talks about, where he's like, I had the character, and then once he knew it was Tom Cruise,
but like, he would never do anything like that today. No. It's too close.
Yeah.
Like, that scene I just posted on the Twitter account where it was like, somebody on 60 Minutes is asking about Nicole Kidman, and he's like, Michael.
He's so intense.
You know what you're doing. And I'm like, it's just a scene from Magnolia where, but like, even like, that scene is so fascinating to me. It's like, she's playing her part, and like, she's been a little like flirtatious with him. Holding her ear and being like, okay, calm down.
Yeah.
And like, he's going along with it. And then when she starts just ever so slightly, like, just twisting the noose a little bit, and when she says to him, I heard your mother died, and he's like, his voice cracks, like, if that's what you heard.
Yeah.
And I was like, there it is there. Like, it's just being stripped away.
Yeah,
like,
I couldn't look away. And every time I'd be like, oh, like, I'd almost sit up like, oh, Tom Cruise is back on. And like, I do like Tom Cruise, like, you know, acting wise. And you know, I don't even give a shit about his personal life.
I'm a Tom Cruise truther. Like, yeah, I just think he's great.
He's so good.
He's going to die for our entertainment one day. Like, he's going to be in a blimp that explodes.
There's something wrong with his brain. There's a bit switched off. Like, and I love it.
I cannot tell you how fucking excited I am for that new Mission Impossible movie.
See that, like, video of him doing the mask?
Oh my god. Like, it's
off the thing.
It's so cool.
I did it like 6 times.
I saw the trailer and I was like, what the fuck? Like, he's just this body floating out over a cliff.
You know, like, it's like, I can't tell if he's got a switch off or if he's got an extra switch on. You know, that we don't have.
He's up a level or something.
Scientology switch that just gets switched on.
Maybe we're all doing it wrong.
Yeah. Maybe it is the answer.
I've never seen him, I think, so like, comfortable in a role. Like, even his body, the way he like moves in it, it feels like it's like such an extension of himself.
I've seen those interviews with him where he's like that one, or like when you've had squirt something.
Did you do that?
He's like, I'm giving you an interview. You're a jerk. You know, but he's so like, the person at the other end, you just know, is thinking like, I don't like this. You know,
I'm dead. Yeah. Like, and so he's going to go missing the next day.
But it must be terrible. Like, I think it'd be so intense to be in his presence. Like, I think you'd just be like, right, but that's, I do. Like, you know,
he's just so like, you know, when some people look at you, or they're looking right in your eyes, you're just kind of a bit like, you just look away. You know, you just can't help but look away. Like, that is an intense stare. He's got that, I think, going for him. But I was blown away. And I was blown away by Julianne Moore. I thought that scene where she's,
Pat Healy.
Huh?
Pat Healy, your buddy.
Who?
The pharmacy guy. I keep telling you about this. You like recommended this movie to me.
I'm the worst.
What's a movie?
You recommended this movie to me that he was in, and it's like him and his buddy go to like David Kochner's house from Anchorman, and they like bet each other. It's like, I'll give you 50 quid if you punch your friend in the face.
Oh yeah.
And you recommended it to me. Oh, yeah. It's like, that's the guy. Like, every time he's in it, I'm like, your buddy Pat Healy. Like, huh?
I thought when she was
a prick. Like, what a prick of a like pharmacist.
Yeah. And the way she just.
But is he not just a bit worried that she's gonna kill herself?
It doesn't come across as worried to me. It comes across as like, it's telling that the older pharmacist literally doesn't say.
She just leaves it up. Yeah,
he doesn't say anything. And this guy's like, oh,
you got a lot going on here.
Yeah, it'll be big party tonight or whatever. Yeah. Like, you don't say that if you're worried.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you're like,
yeah.
But even like, she does it so well. It's not over the top like we were talking.
It's very over the top, Andy, I think.
No, that one is. But in the scene where she's in with the lawyer or whatever like that, like, she just plays kind of being on drugs very well.
She's erratic, kind of just in her mood.
Like, you wouldn't know it necessarily, but if you talked to her you know, I just thought she was
the
fantastic.
Other person that people say, it's very telling actually that like these are the two characters a lot of people talk about being cut out of the movie, is Melora Hardin, who plays Claudia.
I think
she's great.
Her and John C. Reilly. It's so sweet.
It's so sweet, like, I think. And like, John C. Reilly is just a big oaf in this. Like, he's
big
so
lovable oaf.
Yeah, he's so guileless in it. Like,
yeah,
you know, like him trying to be telling her,
there's
like
loads of pathos. Like, yeah, there's so much pathos going on.
But like, he talked about how like he's never had a role that was like a romantic role, really. And yeah, he's like, I'd love somebody to write me that. And then like PTA wrote it for him. But like, her being on drugs, like her performance is like, oh, like I've met people like this. You know, like it is, you know, very, like you say, erratic or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, she is fucked up. She's clearly fucked up from what her dad did to her.
Yeah.
And like,
or her trauma is just bubbling over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, completely, like constantly.
And that was a bit of a revelation to me at the end, where, you know, your man, what's his name, Philip Baker Hall,
her dad fiddled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just kind of like, it's just like, oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the everything all made sense before.
The first scene, like, when she's basically like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know?
So aggressively. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like,
well, it is. What's it's he like, done, like.
I think that stretch in the film, the whole game show, like when you see the kid and his dad, the dad is fucking brilliant as well. Like, his dad's
such an
a piece
asshole,
of shit.
Like,
yeah.
So like when he keeps getting it right, he's like, I have no idea where he gets this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite bits is when he's walking along and he's like, and your man's like, hey. And he's like, hey, Peter. Like, dick, fuck. And goes, he's like, ready to make some money. But like that whole stretch of like, just that's him again flexing his muscles of this steady cam shot, we're gonna go through the whole studio. He does it like 3 or 4 times. It's just like, nobody's making movies like this guy.
I'll tell you what, watching a movie on double speed does do, guys.
All right, Mr. Expert.
Let me teach you a thing or two about movies. You really, the cinematography stood out more to me, if that makes sense. Like the wide, like the long shots.
Yeah.
I almost,
because you're seeing them happen quicker.
I guess. Like, yeah. I kind of like, I noticed it more than I would have in regular time.
Madness.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't pick up on these things. That's that's the whole premise. Yeah. Of
well,
this.
Sometimes you do have to really tune into that stuff. I think you have to, like, you know, sometimes I've watched stuff and I haven't paid attention to that, and then I've gone back with a concerted eye to be like, oh, how was that shot? And what did that, and, you know?
My issue is that I'm normally begrudgingly watching these movies last minute. I had this on my lap in the car park this morning, finishing it. I'm like, I came in here, I'm like, okay.
You had all weekend. What did you watch instead? Some fucking YouTube.
I love this idea. What a hard life. You have to watch some movies, do you?
You have no idea. Yes, God, yes, and it is a hard life. It's every bloody week. I just get over editing one episode.
Exactly. Perfect attitude.
His entertainment. His idea of entertainment.
We did yours.
Did we?
Yeah, 90s action.
That was great, wasn't it? Nice brainless action movies. Yes, please. But yeah, look, I really, like, I'm nitpicking here, but I really, really enjoyed this one. Way more than I actually thought I would. I thought
I'm delighted to hear that. I'm delighted to hear it. I just want to, like, the whole stand. I'm going to keep talking.
Okay.
I know you're trying to wrap up there, but I want to
keep
going. Because, like, I've seen this movie 6-7 times now. Like, love it. I think. It hit different for me this time, though, since I've had kids and seeing, like, poor Stanley, like, just, like, pissing himself there. I'm like...
Poor Baba.
Yeah, like, really is, like, you know, I have a 3-year-old and, like, she, you know, has accents.
Pisses herself all the time.
We can't get around it. But, like, you know, her little face when she's had an accident, like, and then, like, you see, like, this 10-year-old, he's like, no, I want to keep going, you know, when the dad comes out. And all, I'm just like, oh my god! And those two fuckers on his team that
I know.
Are
useless.
Why are they even on the team? They don't even know anything.
Come on, Stanley! I'm gonna kick your ass, man. I had thought, you know, the bit that got me was when I don't know the names, the old guy on the bed,
Partridge, Partridge,
talking to Philip Seymour Hoffman about like his regrets, and all this. I was like, you know, and I initially had that fast, and I slowed it down and rewound it. This is absolute blasphemy. I'm aware of that. Like, just glossing over this, but I went back to that one. I was like, oh, that's actually a really You know.
I spent my commute this morning just like on YouTube picking scenes to rewatch again and again. It's such a great movie for that. Like,
I think it's one that, like, I think I've seen it. It's the first time, I don't care. It was a bit sporadically, and then the second time, and then I've seen it 3 times ish, and I enjoy it more every time I watch it. Like, it seems to be one that it just, it like burrows in a little bit more, it builds a little bit more, you get
you
things a little bit more.
Time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a real, yeah, it's a real grower.
I remember the first time it really hit for me was like, I was living with like my mates, and it would have been 2008, I think, because one of them had got There Will Be Blood on DVD, and they'd started watching it, and I'd come in halfway through, and I was like, oh, and like, I'd come back from work and I just was hooked. I couldn't step away from the TV. And then I was like, I gotta go back and fucking watch some of his stuff again. So I did, like, I had the house to myself, a double bill of Punch Drunk Love. And then I turned this on at like 11 o'clock.
Right.
And like, I like,
through the night.
Oh my God. Like, somebody came home about 3 and like, I was like still up watching. Like, what are you watching, man? And like, I'm like, I'm watching Magnolia. I'm not okay. Like, but I was also like sitting there being like completely engrossed in it. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of, I think it's the kind of film that like, if you're watching it with somebody, I don't want to say not watching it correctly, but if they're not in on it, it will be like, well, fuck this, you know.
It's something that you have to give yourself over to. I 100%. Think I would love to see it in the cinema. Have you ever seen it in the cinema? Any redoings?
Like, The Lighthouse do, every time PTA has a new movie they do. So
I would love to see it in a cinema, because then, I mean, cinema is, you know, I believe, and now look, I don't know whether anyone else thinks this the right way to watch movies.
Yeah, I mean, it beats watching it on in your car with your laptop.
Yeah, maybe. Well, look, you know,
and I'm like tilting the keyboard
on fucking fast forward.
I mean, look, but even, isn't it amazing though that in spite of
still,
all that,
I
didn't think, right, fucking done. Yeah. I was like, that was actually brilliant.
Yeah.
Now for me, and I'll tell you what I was going to do. I was going to be like, I'm not fucking watching it.
How fucking dare you?
I wasn't going
to. I wasn't going to. Only
Mank. Yeah. You seen Mank?
No, because it looks like a load of shite.
It was.
It's great.
Yeah. It was
4.5 stars on Letterboxd.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're okay. I was going to just watch the pivotal scenes and ask ChatGPT to give me a summary.
You and your AI. This podcast is not affiliated with AI.
Well, AI edited these videos. How about that?
I'm not here right now. I'm AI.
You're the hologram of Hannah Mamelis here.
Jesus Christ. That was AI. It wasn't me.
We've programmed Hannah Mamelis AI, and we have,
and she's fucking shit up,
and she's we programmed in that she's going to threaten to flip the table every 20 minutes. This is part of the program.
It's the one glitch in the program.
It's fine.
Definitely not dangerous at all.
No. Well, look, I mean, I'm out of note, but
anything else, Hannah?
Yeah, do you know what was something that I on this kind of rewatch, the kind of something that I think really works about it is I noticed how much they all, and how the movie kind of references the fact that it's a movie.
Yeah.
And so they do it in scene, like that scene you were talking about where, you know, he's like, oh, it's like that bit in the movie where you, and even, you know, in the bed, he's like, it's like the old man who's, you know,
so
in the
fucking
bit.
Boring. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that they, like, you know, sing along with the song that is not in it.
Mm.
The fact that there's a narrator.
Yeah.
The fact that, like,
Ricky J.
John C. Reilly narrates to himself in the movie. And the fact that it ends with a fourth wall break.
Yeah, where she looks
dead
on. Like.
That it works in the sense that I think that because the characters feel almost that they are in a movie, that almost feels, that feels really human to me, because that's something that people actually feel sometimes. Mm. You know what I mean? You feel, what are you if you don't feel like that you are the main character in your story, or you are the,
like, it
you
almost
know,
makes them more human. The
it
fact
does.
That they keep referencing
exactly
movie stuff,
I think,
you know?
So because because you do, you know, we've all done that where you're in a car and a sad song comes on, you know, in your headphones and you're staring out the window and you're like,
it's
me, you know, I am it. Like main character syndrome or whatever, but you know, and you're inclined to believe that every important big thing, weird thing, surreal thing that happens in your life is
like to you
the biggest thing that could happen. And the fact that I think that they are all having these big pivotal meaningful moments and that they feel like that makes it feel all the more human.
Yeah,
to me,
that's actually
excellent point. Excellent.
Thanks so much.
Well,
no, I'm gonna
It's the rule of threes in comedy, yeah, and then you come back around.
Yeah, they get there eventually.
I don't know. For me, this time around, I guess not that it's gone down in my estimation. It, like I say, it hits different. I still think it's an amazing, amazing film, but it's more. It seems like a more collection of scenes. Like I know it's not a very plotty movie, but like even. It almost doesn't feel like a movie. I know you're saying like in one way it's very much so in that they're referencing it. And another way it's like I never realized how much cross cutting there was in it. Like it kind of
like flipping.
You know what it is? We talked about cocaine earlier on.
Yeah.
It seems like a film on cocaine.
Yeah.
In that
yeah.
like the camera's moving everywhere. It's sometimes it's jumping like when the John C. Reilly when he meets Claudia the first time, that Amy Mann song is blaring.
Yeah, it's a
and then
lot.
And then it cuts away and it's something else and the score is kicking in. You're like, oh. And then it cuts back to them and it's like blaring again. You're like, I was like kind of jarring. But not in the worst way. Not like I kind of still liked it. But it was something that like I never noticed before. And I think seeing him at like you say, 29 years old, that he's able to make this movie. That opening alone, when it's one is the loneliest number, is it's disgusting that he's able to put that together at that age.
Well, it's insane that it's actually coherent. Yeah. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be coherent, and it somehow is, you know?
That struck me as quite a, I don't know if it's me, quite a Wes Anderson I got certain Wes Anderson vibes,
but it has more teeth or it has more of an edge.
It's definitely more of an edge. I think it's a lot of like the freeze frame. It's like what he didn't know was that, you know, or the net that was catching like that.
Oh no, I'm talking about the next part,
which part?
Where it kicks into like you're meeting all the characters.
The intro.
But that intro is very much, I think.
Well, the whole, I think the narrator thing can really add this kind of like quirk level. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm a big fan of a narrator in a movie. I have to say, I like it.
Really helps me along.
Tell me what's happening.
I don't know what's going on.
She looked at me. So I don't know, like that. The opening is something that like immediately you're like, oh, I'm watching something different. You're like almost like pushed off kilter and be like, this isn't what you think it's going to be. Any movie, I think that's what he's going for. Like, this is not your usual movie.
Yeah,
this is something different.
This ain't your mama's movie.
And did this, was this the movie then that like launched them into space?
No, I mean, like this was the one that it was like Boogie Nights was the one that was, you're on the map. And then this one, it's kind of like, you did a bit too much. Like some people were like, this is amazing, and some people are like, you know, that, you know, ego or super ego,
do
whatever.
Some people think it's a bit too convoluted.
I listened to a couple of different podcasts in lead up to this, and like listening to the rewatchables.
Extra time.
Extra
time for extra.
I was going to send
content.
You on one of them. Listen to this.
No chance.
Yeah, but like Bill Simmons and Chris Ryan and Sean Fennessy, they do like a podcast, the Rewatchables, where they pick rewatchable movies, and I listened to one they did on Boogie Nights, and they were so high on it, and I was like, yes, I'm there with you, 100%. It's, you know, a film bro podcast. And then they were talking about this one, and I couldn't understand how negative they were. And they're like, it's a case to be made that it's his worst movie.
Why?
And
did
I'm
they,
like, I was like,
I've seen some lists, and I noticed Magnolia was quite near the bottom of it, even in the thing that you tagged me on Twitter, and it was like ranking his movies. And I was like, it was like second or third bottom.
I think it's you know, I think it's also interesting because I think there are other movies that he's done that are just so much more prolific, and people like There Will Be Blood, The Master, people are like, you know, undeniably masterpieces, you know what I mean, whatever. Whereas, you know, I think, I don't know whether people feel that as much about Magnolia.
It's weird because it's the end of this, you know, period of his filmmaking. Like, it's kind of, he's done it in threes. It's Hard Eight, Boogie Nights, Magnolia. They're of a set together. And then he moves on to it's something smaller, Punch Drunk Love. He takes a bit of a break, and then does There Will Be Blood, which is like this American epic, and then The Master after that. They're kind of grouped together.
Right.
And a lot of people would probably say that's his strongest period.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's Inherent Vice, Phantom Thread, and Licorice Pizza. And I don't know, for me, I mean, I love those three movies, but maybe like that's the weakest part.
The last
there.
Three.
The last batch.
Not that he's losing his touch, because it's still like,
it's
a different vibe. He's not doing anything like this now. He's not doing anything that I'm like,
which
holy
I kinda,
fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
I think what's interesting about him, and what's interesting about anybody who's able to change, like, the style of story he does, or the genre or whatever, I think that's always what kind of speaks to someone's ability to make really good work, you know, that you're not stuck in one lane and you're like, these are the movies I make, whereas his are,
that's pretty good, Christopher Walken.
These are so different, and they're all, and the stories they're exploring, and the, you know what I mean, and I think that's always admirable.
I was quite surprised when I looked through the list, and I was like, oh, he did, because I didn't know, I was like, oh, he did this, oh, and he did, like, they're all so, and that was kind of why I was happy to do this one, because previously we had done, like, Nicolas Cage movies or like Wes Anderson movies, and you know what you're kind of getting.
You
in
do,
each one,
yeah.
Or Marvel movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But I loved the fact that this was like, oh, Boogie Nights, There Will Be Blood, Punch Drunk.
They're all different.
So
like.
Different, you know. And I had seen Magnolia actually when I was like a kid, I didn't remember any of it. But I remember thinking, like, and that's a good one too. Like, I remember Tom Cruise's bits, but I didn't remember it as well.
Mm. I think everybody knows that Tom Cruise, you know, 2001 entrance. If you say to somebody Magnolia, that's probably the first thing they think of, is, you know, when he's standing in the shadow and the music.
Came the.
Yeah, but whatever. Like.
Take the one.
We got in the podcast.
the poster behind him. I was like, I'm sorry for the language. Like, no pussy has nine lives. I just missed it. Like, he was just passing by. And just, I was like,
but he, like,
how do you even come up with this?
I don't know. Like, it's, but everything is so meticulous about the movie.
Everything
matters. Like.
Great.
Give me a rating, Andy.
I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Oh.
Disappointed with that?
Yes, I'm very disappointed. Hannah, would you have a rating?
I would give it an 8.5.
Okay.
Disappointed with that as well, yeah?
Hannah's our guest. I would never say.
But when she leaves.
I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Nice. 9.5?
Yeah. I think, for me, in my mind, like, all of his movies are like 5. Star movies, you know, you between 9 and 10, and
so would this be your rank first?
You know, I'll give it a 9.75. I have it slightly ahead of Boogie Nights.
Okay, so this is one of your favorites then, because there's no way you're gonna.
Well, they're all gonna be.
They're all gonna be high. They're all gonna be high.
Yeah, okay. He's my guy.
I'm gonna be really interested to see what you think of Punch Drunk Love, because it's
Yeah, and again, I know that I've seen it when it first came out, but I don't really remember it. But I do also remember really liking it.
We have to do our we do an award, the Ed Harris Award for Excellence in Acting. Who's the best actor in the film? This came up because we saw The Rock and we were like mesmerized.
Ed Harris doesn't need to be that good
in The Rock.
Why
am I feeling so much from this guy in Michael Bay movie?
Like, fucking outtakes. Peter McGann, when he was on, was telling us about these outtakes from The Rock, and we went and looked at them. So intense.
Demented,
where, like, he'd get it wrong and he'd like kick the table like, fuck!
Jesus, you know, Christ.
And just like,
why are you going so hard?
He's like,
what are you doing?
Somebody's talking to him and he's like, yes, sir. Every time he says, sir, I die.
All of a sudden, I'm in an oversized shirt. Like, sorry, Ed.
Daddy.
I'm just transformed.
So you're going to give it to Cruise?
I actually want to give it to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Ooh. And I was only giving out about him, but in context.
Easy.
I was just saying, I haven't seen all of his movies, and I was like, I went on a rant last week. I was like, I'm sick of the Philip Seymour Hoffman ass kisses.
It was when we were watching Hard
Eight. You're going to be seeing a lot of his movies now.
We watched Hard Eight.
I'm on board now.
But like, the scene in Hard Eight is the best scene in the movie with him at the craps table, and you're like,
it seemed so disposable to me. Oh. It seemed so like you could have had anyone do that.
No, but they wouldn't.
You seen Synecdoche, New York?
No.
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah,
but Andy doesn't like Charlie Kaufman movies.
Did he do I'm Thinking of Ending Things?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not a good one to measure.
That's one of the worst movies I've
I know, but that's not a good one to measure Kaufman by. It's not.
Adaptation I liked.
Adaptation's great. Yeah, we love Adaptation.
Yeah, we watched that.
Did
you like Eternal Sunshine?
Yes.
I think genuinely Synecdoche, New York, I think that is how you say it, isn't it?
I always thought Definitely not.
Definitely not that.
Cynodouche.
I know
New
a thing
York.
Or two about movies, guys. It's cynic douche.
I would give that a go. Philip Seymour Hoffman is so fucking good in it.
You're going to go Hoffman as well?
Only because I think Tom Cruise is playing himself.
Yeah.
So it's maybe not too much of a stretch for him. Hoffman really makes me cry.
Yeah, he does make me cry every time.
I really want to rewatch that scene again, that knowing that Tom Cruise improv that, and I want to see Philip Seymour Hoffman cry in the background. Now I'm actually interested to go back and
rewatch that.
I slam the door shut on a movie after I'm watching for this.
I'm going to go with Philip Seymour Hoffman as well.
Hey.
Just because it's one of my favourite performances of all time.
Yeah, he was
very surprising that actually around the horror movie.
Yeah,
but
great.
I will say
it's full of great acting.
It really is.
This time around, the one that really got, and he's close second, is Philip Baker Hall when he's doing the scene where he's like, "That is not right, Stanley." And then he's sweating. He's like, "So next one." He's like, "I'm kind of giving it away here. Chopin, did he?"
That was great.
It felt so.
You're like, "Oh my
real.
God!"
Really
like,
real. Yeah.
So and like that's the last we're going to see of him.
Did he die after that?
No, he only died last year, but he's not in any more PTA movies.
What do you think in general of people who get the same cast back for all their movies?
I like it. To a point, I think like I kind of this is the last time he gets this kind of troupe together.
Okay,
like he brings back Hoffman. And a few other smaller ones, but like he's no more like William H. Macy. There's no more Julianne Moore.
Joaquin Phoenix kind of takes over.
He's a couple in there. Like De Lewis was a couple, but even like I mean, John C. Reilly was supposed to be in There Will Be Blood, and then didn't kind of happen for him. He's in Licorice Pizza for like a second. You won't notice him. He's in it. Like I'll have to point out where he's
PTA is doing this to the point where he's putting Philip Seymour Hoffman's son in taking his place in
he's the star of Licorice Pizza.
Oh really?
But he kind of like this is the end of the road for this kind of gang. Like Melora Walters isn't in it again. That's Claudia.
Was she in previous ones?
She was in Boogie Nights. She was Don Cheadle's and she was actually in Hard Eight as the girl Sam Jackson brings back to the hotel room.
No way.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Full of facts on this.
Yeah, that's my job, man. Hannah, have you anything you want to plug?
Probably not.
No. Did I see you do
probably,
your
no strings.
Oh my god, the big show.
Did I see you're doing like a new project or something? A short film?
I guess I'll probably be able to talk about that now.
Yeah.
I think it's of this evening it'll be announced. Yeah.
Oh great, this is going to be Tuesday.
Oh yeah, well grand. Yeah, I have a short and it's premiering at the Galway Film Flat.
Oh, brilliant.
And and then it'll just be doing the rounds.
Brilliant.
Basically, yeah.
Where can I, if I'm not able to get down to Galway, this is a question I wanted to ask
Shorts
Peter
are
as
tricky.
Well. Yeah, how do I get my hands on these things?
You can't until it's finished its festival run, so that takes a year.
Yeah.
So it like tours around to different festivals for like a year, and then, and it also depends whether after that people, you can put it up online, or just, if you know, the person just fucking awesome.
I'm going to ask Peter.
Just shoot a fucking message and someone will, send you a little sneaky link, whatever, you know what I mean?
Because I saw that one that Peter had done, the Tumba, and I was like, how do we, I'm not going to get to see it. It was on the IFI and I was in work and I was like.
And Tony had done one on some apocalyptic clown.
That's playing at the same thing.
The flat on the Friday. I've got my tickets too.
God. To be able to go to things. To be able to go to things.
To do stuff, etc.
Remember doing stuff.
Right,
well, is that it?
Where can they find us online, Andy?
Sorry, really? You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod, and you can find us on Twitter. Oh, and you can find us on TikTok now at What's So Great About Pod.
Kids.
And Twitter at WSGA Pod.
Yep. What about the Patreon? Over
and of course, is that your bit?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Over on the Patreon, you can for the low fee of €4.50 a month in euros, $5.
It's €5. It's been changed. Yeah. It's a flat €5 now.
You can get access to all our previous mini series. We've done ones on the MCU. What's So Great About Ryan Gosling? What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies? And What's So Great About 90s Action, and then a bunch of other top fives.
You got about 100 plus episodes there. Our best stuff, really.
Yeah. It's when we're freest behind the paywall, we can say whatever we want.
And we do.
And if you're so inclined, give us a rating and review. Didn't think up a 5-star pun this week.
That's fine.
Yeah. So.
I mean, we can retire that.
Yeah, okay. Fucking God.
You put this pressure on yourself.
No. You did it originally, and then it was flipped on to me, and then I had to keep coming up
now
with
you
it.
Say things.
Yeah.
All right.
Give us a rating, review, share, like, all that good stuff. Do our marketing for us, please. And Hannah, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolute blast. Next week, we've got Punch Drunk Love with special guest Ed Salmon. Hey. So tune in for that. And
boom.
It was an early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn. And I really have enjoyed my stay. But I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle, like a queen without a throne. I'm an early morning lover, and I must be moving on. I believe in what you say is the undisputed truth. But I have to have things my own way to keep me in my youth. Like a ship without an anchor, like a slave without a chain, just a thought of those sweet ladies as a ship out through my veins. Now we're going shining, shining like brand new. I'll never look behind me, my troubles will be few.
Yeah.